This service will echo one we held last summer in August. I'm sure some of you attended that service too. For that service, I asked church members to nominate their favorite hymns and readings from the Gray Hymnal, Singing the Living Tradition. The response was overwhelming, enough for two services at least, and this is that second service. As with last year's, we will sing a whole lot of hymns, generally in pairs, with a bit of introduction, interspersed with readings, and a very few words. I have a 4.5-minute homily for you. I've attempted to keep the hymns in number order to minimize flipping of pages. You won't have to look up the readings, just listen. And if you choose to go back to a particular reading, the number is in your order of service for future reference. After each reading, we'll ring a chime, like this, for a few moments of silence to let the words settle with us. Part of the purpose of this service is to celebrate the treasure that is our hymnal, Singing the Living Tradition. It was published in 1993, compiled by an 8-member commission which worked for 5 years. It's a rich treasury of song and word. Charged with compiling an inclusive resource, the commission sought works of music and poetry to reflect our theological diversity. 7 principles, 5 sources, various cross-cultural perspectives and spiritual imageries. Works from 6 continents and from the world's sacred texts are represented. Fully 1/3 of the book is the work of Canadian and American Unitarian Universalists. It's an awesome compendium, and I invite you just to take some time to immerse yourself in it. The other main purpose of this service is the pure enjoyment of singing with one another. 26 years ago, when I decided to leave the mainland and seek employment on the island, I knew that getting settled into a new location would not be difficult because I could live close to a Unitarian church. I even knew a few members of Victoria Church through my frequent visits to Elliott Camps at Seebeck, Washington. I quickly became comfortable here, well, rather there, when we were in James Bay. I could walk to church. I could attend evening church programs, again on foot. I enjoyed teaching the religious education program, but most of all, I enjoyed singing in the choir. As many of you know, there's a very strong choir culture at First Unitarian. Wilma Nielsen cuddled me into lots of other things, including coffee making, ushering, circle dinners. You remember Wilma and her persuasive ways. I even got to be on the new church relocation committee. But I survived our relocation and new church building, and eventually became involved in the worship services committee. It has been my pleasure, mostly, to have been able to spend the last 5 years as the chair of worship. We have our wonderful new worship associates program in place, and I really appreciate that it's helping us to get to know each other better through spirituality and personally. Our ministers have fostered, but not forced, change in this congregation. Liz Graham has taken over as the new chair of worship, and her enthusiasm for this congregation is evident from the joy she puts into her services. When I reflect on this month's theme of kinship, I know that for me, this church is a gathering of my kin. Like most nuclear families, our lot is composed of a wide range of personality types. I'm not sure if I get on with my brother and sister better because of the good practice I get here, or did I really do all my practicing on them and my parents? One thing that my birth family always did was sing. So it seems really appropriate that I should do my last stint as worship associate during a hymn sing type service. My family was one who sang during every road trip. I'm glad that my church family is also happy to lift up their voices and sing. I look forward to many years of keeping my voice in tune with yours.
Thank you, Pat. For our meditation this morning, let us just sing the first verse of hymn number 298, Wake Now My Senses. This hymn was written by Reverend Thomas Mickelson for the ordination of a minister of religious education in Arlington, Massachusetts. After we have sung the verse, we'll have a short period of a silence, and I'll ring a charm when we're finished. Please remain seated. Kinship, the practice of living a life of relatedness, is the theme for our new month. The theme will be properly introduced next week by Reverend Shauna in our homecoming service, but I'd like to talk just a little bit about it now. One of the things that makes family is shared culture, the way we use our utensils at a meal, for instance, the private jokes and shorthand ways of communicating, the insider knowledge of each other's history and how that influences our personality, and loving each other just the same, possibly because you share that history. We've just come back from a driving holiday in Oregon where we went to enjoy the coast on the way south and some theater on the way back, and in California where we went to visit with family. While we were on the road, we attended a couple of Unitarian Universalist churches on the two Sundays that we could. We also regularly attend Newington Green Unitarian Church, established 1709, in London, England, when we go to visit our daughter there. We try to make it a point of attending UU churches wherever we can in the world. The most amazing thing happens when we enter a UU sanctuary. We are among our kin and our kind. Far from home, we find family. So how does that work? When we walk in the door, we know we're among people who share our values and our worldview. The dress code is familiar. We know that we're going to hear a message that inspires us to be our best selves in the world. The issues may be different, the context unfamiliar, but the message is always on message, so to speak. And the coffee hour is warm and welcoming. But for me, what makes it truly clear that we are at home, yet far away, is when we stand to sing the first hymn in the service. It will be one we know. And we will join in raising our voices and our spirits in the company of others. One thing we've noticed is that this congregation is much more courageous and passionate in our singing than many we have visited. To me, that's a mark of a congregation that trusts and loves each other. I will confess to having a small inner insecurity when we visit more timid congregations and that sort of, oops, I'm singing a solo feeling. when everyone else is singing tentatively and quietly, and I'm just letting my voice go and do its thing. Oh, well. Some small magic happens when we join our voices to sing in community. This is from a Slate article, quoting heavily from Daniel Levitin. Stacy Horn writes, "Music is awash with neurochemical rewards for working up the courage to sing. That rush, or singer's high, comes in part through a surge of endorphins, which at the same time alleviate pain. When the voices of singers surrounding me hit my ear, I am bathed in dopamine, a neurotransmitter in the brain that is associated with feelings of pleasure and alertness. Music lowers cortisol, a chemical that signals levels of stress. It also releases serotonin, a neurotransmitter associated with feelings of euphoria and contentment. Prolactin, which has a tranquilizing and consoling effect. And oxytocin, a chemical that manages anxiety and stress and enhances feelings of trust and bonding. That's kinship to me." Stacy Horn concludes, "Singing, especially with others, might be our most perfect drug, the ultimate mood regulator, lowering rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness, while at the same time amplifying happiness and joy, with no discernible unpleasant side effects. The miracle of singing in community. When we combine our common treasury of song and wisdom, singing the living tradition, with the physical miracle of singing in community, that's powerful. And I hope you're feeling some of it today. May it ever be so."